Good morning, brothers and sisters. Good to see you all again. Good to be here. Good to see James and Joanne back. And trust you'll be blessed these couple weeks. And it's been a blessing being here this morning, just reflecting on what we've been hearing in worship. The song service was a blessing, and I was also thinking of what Brother John shared there on fear. Fear is a very real thing to many people, and it also, the scripture teaches us that the fear of man bringeth a snare. And so we know that fear can be very debilitating, and I know that, one of the things that I've found is just facing our fears is also a blessing and also a way to overcome. Just if you know that you fear something, if you just face it and just rather than running from it, if you face your fears many times, that's one thing that will help you overcome. And we know also that the Holy Spirit within helps us to be overcomers and in all areas. But so if you have your Bibles this morning, if you want to turn to Psalm chapter 46. Psalm chapter 46, verses 1 through 11. God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, and the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow, and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth a chariot in the fire. Be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Maybe we could bow for a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for your ever-present help in time of need. We thank you for your eternal word, Lord, that teaches us. And I just ask this morning, Lord, that you would teach me further from your word this morning, that you would guide me with your eye, that you would guide me with your still small voice, that whatever you would have me to share this morning would glorify your name and would edify the hearers. We love you, Lord, and we just ask that you would take away the spirit of fear that our brother John talked about. If there be any in here, Lord, who struggle with fear and doubts and are maybe even almost overcome at times with them, I pray that you would strengthen them with with your power this morning. And so we commit this time to you and just ask that you would give further direction and utterance to what you've laid upon my heart. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning I wanted to share on this verse 10, that be still and know that I am God. It's just something that the Lord is doing in my life, and I just wanted to share with the body of Christ here this morning of just surrender. God has been showing me and teaching me areas of surrender that I need to look at and deal with in my own life. And so I just was inspired to seek out and to look at this verse, to the be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted, he says in his word, among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth. And I believe one of the ways he is exalted is when we surrender our ideas and our hearts to the Lord Jesus. And even though many are the human side of us wants to just shrink back from a full and a total surrender. So you know this morning what it is that the Lord is wanting you to surrender. You can feel you're the only one this morning that can fill in the dotted line. I trust that there's enough of us here this morning that there's some, a few or several here or many that have something that God is working with you on, with me on, of wanting me to surrender this area of my life to Him. And it can just be an unyielded area. It can be an area of service. It can be an area of, oh, the diet, like I said, the list goes on. It could be not necessarily something bad, but just something you're withholding from God. And He wants, because He wants all of us. He doesn't just want our half of us, or two-thirds, or seven-eighths, or 99%. He wants 100% of you and I here this morning. And we were just, the other evening, we went to Miami, Brother Marlon there, Ruth, and some of us, and I was just thinking of the question that Marlon asked some of the Bible study, the prisoners that were in the Bible study the other night, and I thought I would ask that question again here this morning. And he asked them, why do you want to be a Christian? And so I thought, you know, that was a thought-provoking question, and I thought I would just ask that again this morning to all of us here. Why do I want to be a Christian? Do we have any volunteers to raise their hand? Or you could ask yourself the question, you know, that would only apply to maybe just a few of us, but you know, why would you not want to be a Christian? But the first question is, why do you want to be a Christian? Yes, amen. He deserves our life. He is worthy. He is worthy of everything that we have. He is worthy for us to give Him our all, everything. You know, the question or the answer could be, you know, I want to go to heaven, or I want to, whatever it is. And those are not necessarily all bad answers, but I believe the, you know, going back to verse 10 there, where he teaches us, he says, I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth. And he wants to be exalted, and not only wants to be, but he is worthy. He's the only one worthy to be exalted in that way. I was looking at the meaning of those words there, that be still. And that's the Strong's meaning, 7503. It means to sink down, to be feeble, to lower, to give respite or rest, to show oneself slack, fail, weak, or to leave alone. It means to be still is just to stop. And then also, there's also the word is used in Mark 4:39, where Jesus said to the wind and to the waves, he said, peace, be still. That meaning is 5392, which means hold peace. It means to silence, to be quiet, speechless, to be still, Jesus said, told the wind, and it was still. I'd say in modern English, you could say, the term you could use, shut up. You know, we use the term shut up at times, or be quiet, be still. You know, my dad was from Pennsylvania, and there he grew up, and they didn't use those two words, shut up or be quiet. They used be still. So I remember that from growing up, when he would want someone to quiet down or whatever, he'd say be still. And so that was different for us, but, you know, it comes from different areas, different cultures. But going on here, it also gives the indication of dropping our weapons, or after fighting has stopped, the warriors acknowledge their trust in God. Christians often interpret the command to be still, to be quiet in God's presence. It means to be still after you realize you cannot fight this battle and win. And then to know, the word know there has a meaning of to acknowledge or be aware. Couple words here, omniscient, which is all-knowing. God is, to know, is all-knowing, all-powerful. Omnipresent, present everywhere. Omnipotent, all-powerful, is to know God, to be still and know that He is God. This also implies that we can trust Him and surrender to His plan because we understand who He is. So the message that I feel like God has laid upon my heart is just to a full and absolute surrender in all areas of our lives here this morning. And this exaltation, just to exalt the name of God. You know, there's a verse in Isaiah 30:15 that says, "For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not." Another version says, "In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and in trust is your strength." So if you want to turn over to Mark chapter 4. Starting in verse 35. "And the same day, when even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there also was with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Speaking of what Brother John was sharing on, the disciples were fearing. They had fear in their hearts. And God was dealing with them on that. I believe Jesus was in the back of the boat. He had a big day. I believe if you looked at the first part of the chapter there was... You know, he was sharing with them. He was giving them parables. I believe it had been a full day, because in verse 34, it says, "And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples." And sometimes I wonder what those all things were that he shared with them in private. He shared with them many things, I believe. But so he was exhausted, and he came to the ship, and he found a place of rest, and he was resting in the boat, and the wind, you know, was great, and it came in a great tempest. And we as human, the human side of us, we fear at times, and they were fearing for their lives out on the sea. He wanted to get away from the crowds. He wanted to get away from the people were just thronging him. And he said, let's sail out on the sea so he could get some rest. And then they come to him, and they were saying, Master, carest thou not that we perish? They were asking, don't you care about us? And he says, peace, be still. You know, and the wind and the disciples were still at that very moment. And so Jesus says he does care about us, I believe. And so he was just assuring them that he does care about our every need. And he cares more than we know this morning. You know, there's many things that we could talk about, but I think, you know, absolute surrender. You know, I know that Andrew Murray has a book on it, and I know that I don't endorse everything that he writes or that he believed, but I do believe that God taught him some things about surrender through some of the situations in his life that were amazing. And when he was in Scotland, he was discussing this with a group of men, and they were asking, what is the greatest need of the church of believers? A godly Christian worker who was actively involved training other workers for Christ, when asked what he would say was the greatest need of the church, the message that ought to be preached, he answered very quietly and simply, absolute surrender to the one is the one thing that is so necessary. And I believe that if we inspect our lives, you know, just surrendering to God and everything that he brings into our life. There's also some verses in Isaiah 33 that came to me when I thought of this. Isaiah 33, 17 and 18. No, 32, 17 and 18. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. The work of righteousness is peace. You know, when we're working righteousness and when we're surrendered, when we fully surrender, there is peace in our hearts. There's peace in our relationships with other people. There's peace in all those areas when we that work of righteousness is working out in our lives. And the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. So I believe that that's a very important aspect of the Christian life, is total surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And I was also thinking of that great light, you know, in Isaiah 9, verse 2. The people walked in darkness have seen a great light. And that great light is Jesus this morning. And I know that verse 6 there, it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So if the work of righteousness will bring peace, then we will be surrendered to the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So just having peace this morning is so vital. And peace is something that I believe is transparent. When you look upon the face of an individual or a brother or sister in Christ, You can behold whether there's true peace in that heart for the most part. And peace, we know, comes from surrender to the one who is the author of peace. And that is Jesus Christ this morning. And I know that that is just very important to me this morning, that I could be at peace with God first and then with those around me. And also in Jeremiah chapter 10, speaking of the Prince of Peace, he also tells us what will not bring peace. Jeremiah chapter 10. I just wanted to share a few words on this in light of the holiday or that many celebrate Christmas as a pagan holiday. I also believe that it is we do believe that it is right to talk about the birth of Christ and to bring forth how that He is a star and He is the Prince of Peace. But anyway, there's a few verses here that I know there's many programs and in many churches right now, and it's basically it's geared to target our children and to draw them into these things. But just a few verses, Jeremiah chapter 10. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. The Lord, thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain, for one cutteth a tree out of the forest, and the work of the hands of the workmen with an axe, and they deck it with silver and with gold, and they fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. And I know that this was written as a prophecy, you know, long before Christ was born, but I believe that this was a revelation of the idolatry of Christmas trees and many of the light displays that, you know, come at this time of the year. And I believe that, you know, God instructed us that there's nothing wrong with the light, but it can very quickly become idolatry of something that the birth of Christ was never intended to be. And so I just would encourage us with our children to instruct us and to instruct them to be aware of this pole of this, you know, this season that is very real around us. And Romans chapter 12, a few verses there. In light of surrender, going back to that, that was just kind of a little side note. Romans chapter 12, speaking of, you know, we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So that's something that, you know, in light of total surrender, just to yield ourselves to God, that this is our reasonable service. And I know that, you know, why surrender? Because God is asking us to. He's asking us to give a total surrender. And going on there in verse 3, for I say, though the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man a measure of faith. And you notice that this is in light of brethren here, verse 12, verse 1 in chapter 12. He's saying, therefore, brethren. And so all this applies, I believe, to brethren. And I believe it is a In the light of surrender, the true surrender to Christ, this has much to say to us. For as we are many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, and he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And I know we mentioned, I think it was last Sunday, I appreciated what Jerry shared on the mercy of God in light of what he experienced with his father, and I was just blessed with that. And I also thought, it was brought up yesterday morning at the prayer meeting, that the enemy of our souls, he has no mercy. He's a thief, and he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And he has no mercy. He's very persistent and very, you know, he has no mercy in his heart for anyone but just to destroy us. So that's also an attribute of God that the enemy doesn't have, is mercy. And it says, with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation, without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints and given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute, and bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in our own thoughts. Recompense or repay no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. And dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So this morning, you know, those words of life that we read there, those words that teach us how we are to relate to all men, are very powerful words. May the Lord just direct our hearts in this time that we live, and why it's important, I believe, this to surrender in all these areas. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus. So just in light of surrender, you know, maybe we could just ask ourselves, you know, what is it that God is asking me to surrender? And I also believe that it's something that why we see so much powerlessness in Christian lives today is because the surrender is not there. I believe that when we're surrendered, you know, we're not afraid of anything. We're not afraid of the policeman, or as John shared, or authority. But we're totally given to the Lord. And you know, many Christians just today sadly have very little power, little devotion or consecration to God, so little perception of truth. And so we want to be surrendered to the Lord Jesus and to his will for our lives here this morning. And I also could say that there's a coldness that creeps in when I don't surrender my heart to the Lord. When I'm not walking in a surrendered condition of the heart, there's a coldness that slips into my heart. And I've found that in my heart in the recent weeks here. of just a coldness that wants to creep in. You know, the Lord teaches us that the love of many will wax cold in the last days. And I think it's because of just not a full surrender to the Lord. It causes a coldness to come into our lives. And a decision, you know, maybe halting between two opinions. You know, in 1 Kings there, Elijah came to the people and he said, "How long will you halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal be God, follow him." And the people answered him not a word. It's basically, how much longer will you try to have it both ways is the bottom line, is the meaning of the scripture there. But so we need to choose today. Choose to surrender. You know, Matthew 6:24 says, "No man can serve two masters." So if we choose, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. We can't serve God and mammon. We can't serve both sides. The treasures of this world and also the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. It's many times I've found when I'm not willing to surrender, it's selfishness in my heart that doesn't want to surrender to what God has for me. And if we have an intimate relationship with Christ, we will want to, the Holy Spirit will guide and lead us and touch our family and our friends. And when we minister to the lost, they will be touched. You know, God's blessings are conditioned upon absolute surrender. 1 John 3:22 says, "Whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight." Just giving God our all this morning. What does it mean to you and I here this morning to have an absolute surrender, or to be still and to know that He is God? Just to silence myself before God. And many times I come with all my things that I want to say, and rather than just being silent before Him, allow Him to speak to my heart. Matthew 10:37-39, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." So it's the message of the cross. The way of the cross is life. We try to save our life as we try to, you know, find whatever it is to save our lives. By not doing his will, we will actually lose our lives. But it's actually as we engage fully in a full surrender to him, that's when we keep our life. We may lose it here in this life, but we will gain glory, eternity, which is so precious. You know, I thought of also of just a pen like this. You know, God is holding us as a pen, and He wants to use us and write and do the will of His will on this earth. But if this pen would fight against me and try to not do what I want it to do, then there would be a fight, and it wouldn't achieve the goal that it was intended to achieve. And I think that's the way it is in my life. When I resist and don't allow God to work in my life and to minister whatever it is, to share a word of encouragement, to share a word of rebuke, whatever it is, then I'm limiting God. We are His mouthpiece, His hands, His feet. And surrender is different, I believe, than commitment or submission. You can be a committed Christian and still live, you know, kind of a powerless or a passionless life, an empty life. by just going through the motions. You know, a commitment is a promise or an obligation or a pledge, while surrender is giving up. It's giving over ownership. It's giving over the ownership to God, to others. It means I'm out of the driver's seat of my life and I have given it to Christ. Take me where you want me to go. Just seeking His purpose and will for our lives. His plan for our lives is so marvelous, but many times we settle for less. I know we sang the song this morning, I think it was 9:18. I surrender all. All on the altar I lay. You know, that's part of, in Romans 12 there, part of that living sacrifice. You present your bodies a living sacrifice acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know, a surrender is making a conscious choice to let go of the control and let God control it. Romans 6:13 says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So a living sacrifice. What is a living sacrifice? A dead sacrifice is someone that just lays there, and you know, it's just laying there dead. It can't do anything. But a living sacrifice is someone that's doing the will of God here today, and is being used of God, and being, yes, challenges come. There's many challenges, but it is the only way that leads to life. Giving over ownership. Matthew 22:37, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It doesn't say strength on there, but I added that. All your soul and all your mind. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. I know that there's times when we rationalize, you know, we think, well, God, is this really what you have for me? But we know that we're blessed if we embrace it. If we just embrace that with that absolute surrender. I was just thinking of, surrender requires a response from us. And I had to think of the word surrender, basically, as I was looking at that word, it's not a scriptural word necessarily. The meaning is there. But it's not a scriptural word, but it's more of a military or type of, you know, word you could say. And I would just thought of that in the thought of you know, the Civil War, how that when Robert E. Lee and General Grant came together there to when Grant or Lee he surrendered to Grant. You know, there was they had a 2.5-hour meeting, and it was amazing. You know, they come together, and these men were, I think General Grant was about 43 years old, and Robert Lee was about 59, and they came together and they talked for 2.5 hours, and during that time, their men were still out there fighting, where they were contemplating and dealing about how this surrender would, you know, if there was going to be a true surrender. And so there's many casualties if there is not a true surrender as well. I could say that this morning, that as we as fathers of our homes, as we have a full surrender to Christ, then it will affect the rest of our family and those around us. But in that battle, there was 258,000 men in the South that died, and there was 360,000 men died in the North. And it wasn't until after there was a surrender where all this bloodshed stopped. So there was a surrender there that needed to take place. And so as we think of these men, how blessed they were when they heard that there was a surrender. You know, that meant the bloodshed was going to was going to quit. So I just was thinking of that in light of surrender, that we would have a heart of surrender here this morning. Maybe I'll just have a word of prayer here. Maybe we could all stand for a word of prayer. Lord, I just bow before you here this time, Lord, just asking you to just work in my heart, Lord, work in all of our hearts, Lord. I just pray that you would be with us here, Father. I just sense that I am just not able to share what's on my heart, Father. I just sense that, I just pray that you would bring deliverance, Lord, that you would come and give me a word from you, Lord. I just pray that your passion would be upon us here today, Lord. Your passion for souls, your passion for our families, your passion for all of us here together, Lord. We need you so much. And I just pray that you would guard us, Lord. Keep us from the enemy. That you would bind him in Jesus' name, Lord. And give us courage and strength, Father, to share what's on my heart, Lord. We do need you. And just thank you for your love and your care for us. And above all, I pray that, Lord, that you would allow me to help me to surrender my heart to you, Lord. I need you, and I need your guidance at this time. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we can see, you know, this area of surrender is something that can be twofold. It can be from the point of a Christian, you know, we as saints of God, you know, surrendering something in our lives, or it can be the initial surrender that we have, where those who are not saved this morning, who have not given their heart to the Lord Jesus, and there's the point of that they need to surrender their lordship of their life to Jesus Christ. But it's been said, and at some point, we all surrender our lives to God. You know, some choose to do it voluntarily. We will either, at some point, we will all surrender to Christ, the initial conversion. You know, whether we do it here, we will still have to surrender at the judgment, but it'll be too late for salvation. So we will have to surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a blessed place to be, the way of the cross. It is a blessed place to live. There's so much fulfillment in walking with Christ. But the enemy is busy teaching us through the world's philosophy that it is a boring and a dead thing. But we know that it is a lie, just like it was in the Garden of Eden. You know, they had bliss there. But she was, you know, God, or the devil came to Eve and tempted her into the destruction of all humanity. That sin was born. But Philippians 2:5-11, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation. As we think of Christ and his surrender, how he came and he was born. He was born of a virgin. He was born as a baby. You know, came into this world and took his first breath and had his first cry and had his first words. All that he came, he made himself of no reputation, but took upon him a form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, today or at the judgment, of the things in heaven, of things in the earth, and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the Lord of to the glory of God the Father. So we can think of Christ this morning, and how that the beauty of how he was born here, and He came in such a humble fashion. He could have come charging in on a chariot with 50 horses and just come charging into this world and set up an earthly kingdom. And he could have done marvelous things, we know. But he chose not to do that. He chose to come in as a humble servant. He chose to come in the most lowly way that he could ever come, in the form of a baby. But yet he was God. You know that George Mueller, he knows a little bit about surrender. I think it was for 2 years he lost his voice and he could not speak. And he was a gifted preacher, teacher, I believe. And he spoke, wrote, did a lot of writing as well. But he learned surrender, I believe, through that, where all of a sudden, for some reason, God allowed him not to be able to speak for 2 years. Then he was delivered. He was delivered of this infirmity. And then he went on from there. But when he was 90 years old, he said total surrender amounted to two things. First, absolute surrender to work what God wants us to do. And second, a total willingness to let God work in us whatever he wants to work. And I think there's so much truth to that. First, the absolute surrender to work what God wants to the work that God wants us to do. Then secondly, a total willingness to let God work in us whatever he wants to work. So this morning we could say, what are things that God is wanting me to sacrifice or to surrender to his will? I've read that, in the area of thought, our thought life, there's approximately 50,000 thoughts go through an average mind in one day. So that is a lot of thoughts. So we can surrender our thoughts to the Lord Jesus this morning. And all of them, the accusing thoughts, the thoughts of pride, all those thoughts, we can commit them and surrender them to him this morning. Is he the Lord of our passions? A question for us here this morning. I had to think of music. I had to think of contemporary Christian music. I know that is something that the enemy is wrecking havoc with in our day. He allows this thing to come into the Christian circles, and many are deceived into thinking that it's Christian music. And I don't believe it is. I believe that if you look at one of those videos or those, the videos that they have of the live music bands, and watch the moves that they make, the dancing, it's demonic. And it may have Christian lyrics, but I believe it's demonic. And I also believe that music is fellowship. You will become what you listen to. And you can think that you can listen to some of that and not, no one will know, and you can be edified. But I disagree with that strongly. I believe if we listen to contemporary Christian music, we will be changed. And it won't be for the good. It won't be for the glory of Christ. And it won't be a total surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. But it's very sensual and it's very devilish. And yet it has it comes as an angel of the light. So if you're here this morning, and if you are dabbling in contemporary Christian music, I'm asking you to please repent of that. It won't take you anywhere good. I know that I just recently read a book. It's called a Dark Secret or something like that. But this young lady had a very troubled home life. And she had, later in her years, as she was away from home, she started listening to contemporary Christian music. And if she were here today, I think she's still living, she could tell you that when she started listening to that stuff, she became a different person. Her desires changed away from God. Her desires went the way of the world. And it was only when she would remove that from her ears that she could follow Christ. And so that is a plea that I have this morning, in the area of surrender, that we would surrender those things because they are very subtle. Harsh or angry words. Is Jesus the Lord of your speech? What comes out of your mouth day to day when no one's around? Your speech, I believe we need to surrender that. Our relationships, our possessions. And we need to make Jesus Christ Lord of all of our lives. Can we honestly say this morning, Lord, anywhere, anytime, any cost, I will surrender all to You this morning. So that's something that just has been beating within my heart of just a total abandonment. You know, for me, there's different things that I struggle with in the area of surrender. There's times when I don't want to come up here and I don't want to preach. I don't want to do it. But the Lord is teaching me, and He's wanting me to surrender that to Him. Because of there's many accusations and lies that come to my heart and my thoughts. And so if you think of me, pray for me. Being filled with the Spirit is simply this: having my whole nature yielded to His power. When the whole soul is yielded to the Holy Spirit, God Himself will fill it. Walking in the Spirit is being yielded to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then He can fill us. He can fill us with His love. He can fill us with His direction for our lives. Walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5:16 tells us. So this morning, I just want to encourage us all that there would be a total surrender to all areas of our life. Whether it's the initial conversion experience, or whether it is something that, you know, as a child of God, God is dealing with us. It's how I treat my neighbor, how I talk to those who work for me, those who I work with, all those things. God is wanting to, He's wanting us to have a total surrender in that area. So I just ask the Lord to fill me with His love, fill me with His word, and show me what His will is in all those areas. So God bless you.